In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The lesson comes from today from the first letter of St. Peter the Apostle. Dearly beloved children, the ancients therefore that are among you, I beseech you, who am myself also an ancient, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as also a partaker of that glory which is to be revealed in the time to come. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking care of it not by constraint, but willingly, according to God, not for filthy lucre's sake, but voluntarily. Neither as lording it over the clergy, but being made a pattern of the flock from the heart. And when the Prince of Pastors shall appear, you shall receive a never fading crown of glory. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory in Jesus Christ, after you have suffered a little, will himself perfect you and confirm you and establish you. To him be glory and empire forever and ever. Amen. Please stand for the continuation of the Holy Gospel according to Saint Matthew. In that time, Jesus came into the quarters of the Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that the Son of Man is? But they said unto him, Some say John the Baptist, others Elias, still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But Jesus said unto them, But whom do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answering said to him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound also in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose upon earth shall be loosed also in heaven. Thus concludes the continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. You may be seated. So today we have the grace of Pope Pius V. And when we have the gift of Pope Pius V, do you know that he's one of the greatest saints of the entire church? I'm quite probably going to talk about him tomorrow in the Mission Mass when I'm talking about the Rosary, but I haven't written that talk yet, so I don't know exactly. There's too much to say on the Rosary, so I don't know where I'm going to go at all, but we'll figure it out by the time it's time to give it. Saint Pius V, one of the things that we like to broach with our young children is, you know how Father wears a black cassock. Wears a black cassock all the time, his black dress that he wears all the time. Well, you probably noticed that the Pope doesn't wear that, does he? What does he wear? That's right, he wears a white cassock. And why does he wear the white cassock? It's because of Pope Pius V. Pope Pius V was one of the great saints of the Church, and he was elected by Pope Paul IV, who was a very rigorous Pope, trying to restore the Church in many ways to its glory, to bring the faith together. Remember, this is during the time of that Protestant rebellion against the Church, and the grave errors of the arch-heretic Martin Luther and Calvin and Zwingli and all these other heretics that were tearing apart the very fabric of God's church, which he said in the Last Supper, saying, Ut unum sent was his prayer, that they might all be one. And so these Protestants with their heresies and their secular and demonic ideologies tore apart the fabric of the church. And so that's why we have such confusion among those who claim Christ throughout the world today. Well, Pope Paul IV fought strongly against those things, but at his death, he did one great thing in elevating the young Dominican, who was to become Pius V, to the cardinaliate. And when he was elected, this is a funny thing, I think, I just found this out this morning, when Pope Pius V was elected, he said, My hope is this, that the end of my episcopate, rather, that the end of my papacy will be visited with more tears and lamentations than my entrance into the papacy. Do you get that? Sorry, I got something in my throat. Did you get that? He said, I wish that there were, my hope is that I should live out the papacy so well that my departure from the papacy, when I die, be visited with more tears and lamentations than there were at my election to the papacy. You see, that was the state of the church at the time. There were such horrific disorders going on within the church that Pius V was such a holy, holy man of God that those who were not holy, holy men of God, more men of the world, sadly, hated the fact that he was going to be Pope, because it meant that their vices would flee. Their vices would have to go, and he would challenge them every step of the way until they gave it up and would strip them from it. Pope Pius V was a man, I also learned that this morning when I was doing some study on him, that he was such a man of integrity that he said the worst offense that anybody could do unto his person is to lie. There was one person who lied to him, lied to him. It was a small lie, insignificant in truth. But when he had that lie, he immediately dismissed him from service and never again held him in any confidence or any post. Just for a single lie. He said, you must be truthful in all things. What does it say within the scriptures? It says, he who can be trusted with small things, then indeed can be trusted with greater things. And so it's all the important that you and I be faithful within the small things. Pope Pius V lived this out strongly. I began telling you a story and I cut it off, so I need to finish that. That the reason why he wears white is because he was a Dominican. And when he entered there, he said, I am a Dominican. I'm a mendicant. I'm somebody who is a part of the Order of St. Dominic and a devotee of the Most Holy Rosary. So because of this, I'm not going to wear the red, indicative of what all popes to that time wore. They wore the exact same thing as the cardinals did, no difference, that cardinal red. So he said, no, I'm going to keep my habit. I'm going to keep my habit because that's who I want to be. I want to be one who's more devoted to the religious side of things than one who, sadly, at this time, is seen as cardinals dealing with secular matters of state. And so he did. He did very strongly. something that would gall your eyes and mine is to hear that he moved so strongly against the sins of the flesh that he expelled all prostitutes from Rome. That the reason why that sin against the sixth commandment is called fornication is because they would these loose persons would gather under the fornexes, which were there, the walls that were out there, the arches at the extent of the city which is there. And they would ply their trade out in those areas. That's why it's called fornication. It's the thing that those people who hang out in those areas do. And so he expelled them all from Rome, saying, one, they must leave Rome. Two, they can enter into convents, or I forget what the third thing is that he provided for them to be able to do, to reform them. But they will not be able to do so. Otherwise, they and anybody who plies their trade, obtains their services, will be greatly flogged. And so he did. Throughout the whole of his, he completely removed that sin from there. And there was wailing and gnashing of teeth, not from those who were the oppressed women who were plying that trade, so much as those who were wishing to obtain that among the nobility. But he stayed strong in that and was able to purify the city of Rome from that particular difficulty. Under his tenure, there were so many women of ill repute who became great practitioners of the faith, who over and over again, so much so he had to employ, I believe it was 7 different women to be able to go throughout in order to gather these women so that they might have a good holy house in which to live, because there were so many of them that were leaving that life of sin behind and wanted to lead a life that's the exact opposite in perfect chastity as brides of Christ. It was all because he made this reform. Beyond that, you may know that he's one of the reasons why Christendom existed past his age, because he called everybody together, all the Catholic princes and kings, and said, we must make a stand against the Turks and all come together, and we will entrust this crusade order over to Our Lady to pray the rosary at this time, and called not only those who were on the boats to pray it, those who were fighting in the massive sea battle to be able to do so, but also that they would that all of Christendom would pray nonstop the prayer of Our Lady, her Psalter, her Rosary, that Christendom may be victorious over the wicked Muslims. And so the Mohammedans were indeed driven back by a miraculous force, And even at the very hour of the victory, Pope Pius V, while praying his Rosary, saw a vision that appeared before him, at which he knew that victory was had. Victory was had at that time, even though it was many weeks still before the actual message of the victory from the ships would actually arrive back into Rome. So he caused all the church bells in the whole of the city of Rome to ring constantly, recognizing that a victory had been won. Such is the great grace of visited by his prayers. I could regale you with stories about his life so much. He's one of the ones who it makes absolutely no sense why he himself is not called St. Pius the Great. St. Pius the Great. For if you list off all those who have the appellation of the Great, he causes nearly all of them to fall down in adoration, he would, of the great works which he accomplished in his lengthy papacy, bringing reform to the church, bringing the practice of good morals, organizing things within the church, founding congregations, dispelling the errors of Protestantism, affirming the Council of Trent, which was to set aright the church, the council really sort of to end all councils, the last council that dealt with grave doctrinal matters in this way, as an ecumenical council. And also, from that, the reason why you and I celebrate the beautiful Mass in the way in which we celebrate it today is because of Pope Pius V. Pope Pius V is the one who gave his imprimatur, saying, this is the Mass for all ages. Let no one ever change anything that was brought into this Mass. This is the Mass of all the ages. And so every missal, which has ever been published within, even with little tiny insignificant changes like words or added editions of saints or small little changes, always have had his order quo prenumum in the very front of it, saying we are in accordance with Pius V and what he said here. The church has always recognized that up until the 1970s, that is. And so in this, we have lots to give thanks to for Pope Pius V, to ask him for the graces to stand firm against vicious evils within our own time, but also with our own personal life, to not stand for untruths in this way. He himself kicked out, I forget to mention this, that nepotism was a thing where you just took care of only your family members, only those who were related to you, something very common to Santa Rosa, right? Living in that nepotistic way, to only protect those who are within your own family. Well, he had somebody with his own family who was guilty of serious sexual crimes. He had him publicly tried, and then afterwards read himself the sentence which was to be passed upon him. And that was that in no more than 2 days' time, his nephew would be removed from Rome and never allowed to return again. 2 days to move, though being a prince that he was, showing that he would not have the slightest bit of nepotism in his reign as pope, that he himself would only seek that which is of God, that which is of God. You and I have a lot to learn from such a holy pope, to ask for his intercession, and particularly in this time where this mass is being brought into question, how long will it endure? Pope Pius V is the patron saint of this beauty of the sacred liturgy which we have today. Ask for his intercession for your life, for strength to go forward, and to be able to lead all the more Christian lives, trusting in the mighty weapon given to us by Our Lady, her most holy rosary. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.